everybody. Welcome to 90 Day Fiancé Cray Cray. I'm Kim.
And I'm Kyle, and happy Easter. He is risen.
Yes, happy Easter. Yeah. Had a very fun egg hunt today.
Yeah.
Easter's fun with kids, as it turns
out. My son is still irrationally excited about it every year. And yeah, well, I just landed from a week-long spring break trip. I think I've been awake for 30 hours and I'm completely delirious. So this is going to get real weird.
Kyle, well, I made a list of how you could be better. So, we can go through those items one by one. I counted the rolls of toilet paper that you have used per day in the last year. So I think that we should review that.
I think I'm going to listen to your list and then I'm going to go tell you to go fuck yourself and your fucking ass.
Rob's list.
Oh my God.
I was like, dude, don't lead with that. Like, you're trying to convince her to stay.
Is he complaining?
I don't know. Now I'm honestly not convinced. Maybe he's just trying to play sad Rob to get some sympathy because he knows it's over. But I mean, don't talk to a woman about her makeup being messy and how she's got to clean it up and how many rolls of toilet paper she uses if you want her to come back and live with you again.
Literally it's on camera wild. Telling her that she mashes dead trees into her asshole too much. Welcome back, babe. Let's get this marriage back on track. What are you talking about? Like, get in the kitchen and keep your butthole dirtier.
It's just, dude, I mean, ask look her prettier, about it later.
Look prettier. Like, stop being a trash panda on the can. Welcome home. When are you moving back in? Where's the rest of your shit?
Oh my God. I really did. I stick by the fact that I do think production is trying to give Rob the sympathy edit this season,
but they're having
a really hard time. They're having a really hard time. They're like, dude, she walked in and that was the first thing he said. He didn't even lead with like, here's one sad rose again, Kyle. One sad rose again.
Can this man not buy a half dozen, dude?
Come on.
He did a poll. He found some flowers on the side of the road with thorns, complete with thorns, and then just kind of left them on a table next to his honey-do list.
I forgot about the thorn flowers. She was like, ow, it pricked me. It's like if you gave her a cactus, like wrapped in wax paper. Like, this is not going to go well. I mean, Jesus. Oh, I enjoyed it, though. Really fun. We are going to go through some deep evidence today and then get through the episode. Due to the Easter holiday and the travel schedule, maybe a bit of an abridged episode today, but we will make up for it in B-sides. We've got Seeking Sister Wife. We've got Single Life Tell All. Confirmed, Mother Debbie was wrong with she met a cray cray at the post office and told our cray cray that the tell all was three parts. Mother Debbie doesn't know what she's talking about. It's five parts. I have confirmed.
Full
three of five.
Of shit.
We will continue to cover on B-sides. I mean, as long as Natalie's there, I'm kind of here for it. Like, is there anything more entertaining? Not really. So wild. And then I think that you watched on the plane and I watched over the weekend a lot of Three Body Problem. So we might have a chat about that if we have time, just because.
Yeah.
It's sweeping the nation. I mean, it's number one show on Netflix for a couple weeks running now. I've been loving it. It's not reality TV.
It's Have you finished it?
Yes.
Okay, good. How could you not?
If you're a nerd. Yeah. This is not just sci-fi, y'all. This is hard sci-fi. Meaning like rooted in the hard sciences.
Maybe.
Well, we'll discuss it. Anyway, it's really great. If you haven't checked it out, you should. But let's hop into some evidence. What do you think? Last Resort, season two, rumored cast.
Speaking of culture.
Do you want to hear who the rumored cast is? This is probably a spoiler, so I will put in a spoiler alert. Skip ahead a couple of minutes. Rumored cast, Brandon and Julia, who, like, no fucking way are these two breaking up. Julia just got her citizenship. We saw it on Instagram. Like, she got her citizenship. Congrats to Julia. I don't believe for a second these two are going to get divorced, but they'll probably, like, fly his parents in and have some more drama.
They have, you know, they have problems. Don't get me wrong.
Sure. Don't we all?
Yeah, I mean, they have pretty significant problems, but I never got the feeling that they're imminent divorce, you know? Come on.
Yeah. Sophie and Rob.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We'll talk about that in a minute. Binium and Ari, which we saw them on 90 Day Diaries this whole
season.
They're
fucking done.
They haven't even been living together for like a year.
They're done.
Honestly,
yeah.
Though, hold on. Let me finish. Jasmine and Gino.
Sure. I mean, they're just going to be on everything forever.
Nikki and an iPad.
No way.
Nikki claims no, but Shibuti said, Shibuti originally broke this news. And I think people on Reddit were like really, you know,
There's no way.
Because somebody on Reddit posted that they were in Arizona on vacation and they saw Sophie and kind of did a double take like, oh, shit, is that Sophie from Sophie and Rob? So they didn't film it in the same place that they did last season. But Nikki swears it wasn't her and that she was in New Jersey and that she's not on. So I guess if we get Brandon, Julia, Sophie, Rob, Benny, Amari, Jasmine, Gino, it's only four couples. There's got to be a couple more.
Well, we'll cover it.
I'm a fan of watching people break up. Like, I'll watch Binium and Ari break up. Like, I don't know.
That was funny. That's the only one that I'm not like super excited about because it's really fucking sad to watch on Diaries.
It is sad, you're right. It is sad. But like Jasmine and Gino, actually, that's going to be sad too. And if they break up, which some people have speculated, this is not a spoiler because I don't know, but some people have speculated that they have. After the performance that we saw in this episode today, I always feel like Jasmine is really kind of acting a little bit, which is okay. It's TV, you know? We want drama. But damn, the panic in her face when Gino was like, I don't give a fuck about getting your kids here.
Right, yeah, like, the implication of that. Yeah, I mean, if there's one thing that I don't think Jasmine's completely full of shit about, it's the desire to get her kids here.
Yeah.
And it's funny, like, she has had far bigger meltdowns about much less than this, which makes it feel like it's real. Like, the way that she reacted, I think, was genuine hurt. And, you know, we know that Gino's financial situation is like a source of deep discomfort and like horror for him. We'll talk about how you could easily probably fucking solve this later when we
by getting a job
them. Or like
go back to work, Gino,
or being in a goddamn marriage and actually showing her your fucking finances.
Yeah. Or like showing any empathy.
Right.
Or remorse that you messed up. And we'll talk about them. Anyway,
yeah,
so that's
a
rumored last resort. There was a post from Kobe that you would really appreciate. He did like kind of a ask me anything. You know, people were submitting questions on the social media. And one said, are you happy with your bossy wife?
Do you still love your bitch of a fucking controlling whore of a wife?
I mean, how are you supposed to answer that question? Like, what a question.
And also, even if they had broken up, which they will never do, they have three fucking kids, he's under NDA. Come on, he's not gonna say anything.
That's true. But we'll talk about this as well, like during the episode. I think that Kobe might be one of the best humans to ever be on this franchise.
Yeah, totally.
I think he might be too good for the show. But he, and along those lines, he replied, "I'm blessed with my wife. Without her, I won't be who I am today. She completes who I was meant to be. I know your intention is to downgrade her, but listen, she's more than you can ever imagine." I was like, damn, that is a ride or die reply. Congrats, Kobe. Yeah. Well done,
sir. No, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. And guess what? Even if you didn't really feel that way, props for not airing it on fucking Instagram.
Right. Statler posting about TLC casting abusers. She posted like this 9-picture Instagram post. All of the pictures were Angela and Mahmood. So she didn't mix it, you know, she focused it on two. And the caption was, "Abuse isn't entertainment. It is the if the Learning Channel wanted to put a disclaimer before, like, this is what an abusive person looks like. If you're in a relationship with a person who acts like this, please know it isn't healthy. Get help. Then that would be okay. But the majority of us are sick of abuse being used as entertainment. It's triggering. It's not good. It's not even good entertainment."
Good for her.
I thought it was interesting she posted that.
I think we're like completely aligned with that. I will say that even talking about Mahmood is a little bit uncomfortable, but the fact of the matter is that we just don't really know what happened there.
The charges were dropped
pretty quickly. Nicole has not really spoken about it. If we learn more details, we won't talk about them. So far on this season, really what we've seen is Mahmood's a little baby man, but we knew that. But yeah. So far on this season, and we'll talk about this more, like my perception is that, and I kind of changed my view after our last podcast. So far, it seems Nicole is just going out of her way to just troll him.
Everybody is saying. Yeah.
And in this episode, I think it became more obvious watching it. And so, like, I don't really have a problem talking about it right now. But if more information comes out, yeah, we won't talk about a piece of shit abuser.
Yeah. Like we said, the charges were dropped against him. So we just
nobody's
have to kind of roll
talking
with...
about the. We have literally no details about what happened at all.
Yeah. Also, this is a spoiler for Ashley Emanuel. So skip ahead a minute if you do not want to hear the spoiler. But they were spotted buying tires in Rochester last week. So he hasn't run off yet, what our Cray posted in the group.
Probably didn't buy a motorcycle.
Probably didn't. No, I don't think they were buying motorcycle tires. But come on. We all knew that he wasn't going to get a motorcycle. Like, where's that money coming from? But I'm sorry. I have lots of low quality evidence. Do you have something?
Well, the most probably, you know, the highest quality, most recent evidence that just came out yesterday. Oof. And this is
major spoiler
for the whole fucking season of HEA. But this really probably is not super shocking. And also, this apparently is a spoiler for Last Resort also.
Yeah, seriously.
Apparently, Rob and Sophie are done. Not shocking to anyone with eyes and ears, but
this is why it may not be a spoiler for Last Resort. It's because they haven't filed for divorce. And
maybe they are still kind of separated and trying to make it work, but yeah.
We can see even in this episode of HEA, they're still not even living together. So I don't know, like saying they're done or they're not done. The more I think about it, like, maybe Sophie did just want to make it to LA and be famous. I know that they're in Texas now, but I do wonder if, I'm not saying she didn't like genuinely like Rob, because I don't think the two things are like mutually exclusive. You know, I think there are very few people that are scamming, you know, have like this big complicated plan to like lure a person in just to get the green card and then leave as soon as they have it. Like, I just don't think that really happens. I think it's kind of a mixture of, oh, you know, I like this person, and oh, bonus, like maybe I could be in a place where I could achieve some of my goals. But I just want, because she really, Sophie does strike me as a person that does want to have some sort of entertainment career. I would say. Similar to like Nikki and other people that we've seen on the show. Pow, for example. It's not
the unique. The only thing that I'll point out about this, so this is a this is from In Touch, supposedly some kind of exclusive, but you know, whatever. If you actually read the article, there's nothing new in here beyond that they're just still not living together since HEA. So the article says that they still have not moved back in together since she moved out to be with Kay. That means this entire season of HEA, they will not move back in together. And then the article says that they are not together, but they are still friends, which I feel like is kind of what we're seeing right now too.
Right.
So essentially what we're going to see on HEA and presumably Last Resort is continual attempts to try to rekindle this or figure out how it could work. And it's just not going to. So, you know, I mean, to me, this isn't really even news other than the fact that we just confirmed that they couldn't figure it out. And maybe they, maybe the article, I mean, the article doesn't even say that they've completely given up. I don't know. But yeah, they're still married. They're just separated. And it's not going to get better. And this has been going on since May of 23 at the earliest.
Jeez.
Or sorry, at the latest.
At the latest. I mean,
it might even be May of 22 because we know that the wedding was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Well, no, that doesn't make sense. Yeah, so it would be May of 23. May of 23, they've been separated. So basically, if you follow that timeline, they were only married and living together for 5 months in total.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which is plus not surprising. I mean, they had so many issues.
Yeah.
It does seem to have flipped that. I felt like last season that Sophie was just really kind of after Rob, like really infatuated with him, you know, in the way that I just felt like she thought he was the hottest thing ever. She really wanted to be with him. Now I feel like it's flipped a little bit. Like she's kind of over it. And, you know,
she should be
having her toilet rolls counted. Yeah.
Yeah. Get a fucking bidet, Sophie. But, you know,
I think she's using the toilet paper to like clean up her makeup.
All sorts of things.
Yeah. All sorts of things. In the past, I just never really felt confident about my hair walking out the door in the morning. My hair is very fine and overall kind of lacked a lot of body, and it just never really looked good, you know? That is until I found Pros Customized Hair Care. We all know that your hair and skin can really sway your mood and impact your day in ways that you can't underestimate. I'd never found beauty products that really understood my needs, like my personal needs. But ever since I switched to a custom hair care and skin routine with Pros, I've noticed so many benefits. Healthier hair and skin, and yes, beyond that too. My hair is now super shiny, healthy, and manageable. I just never thought I'd actually get compliments on my hair, but now I do, and this still blows my mind every time it happens. Pros is made for people, not hair or skin types. Personalization is rooted in everything they do, from their in-depth consultation to their made-to-order model. From millions of possible formulas, only one is uniquely yours, or mine. My hair concerns were overall kind of just limpness, and it never really had any body. It was just really dull as well. I wouldn't have described my hair as shiny before I started using Pros. It just never really looked good. And I'm also very particular about how my products smell. I do not like sweet scents like vanilla, and I was able to specify that with Pros. Another great thing about Pros is their review and refine tool, which learns from my feedback and adjusts my formulas to keep up with the seasons and changes for my life. For example, I recently got my hair highlighted for the first time ever in my life. I know I'm like late to the party here, but I just logged into Pros and changed up my formula accordingly. It was really easy, and now I'm confident that I'm using the right hair products for my situation. Pros isn't just better for you, it's better for the planet. They're a certified B Corp, cruelty-free, and the first and only carbon-neutral custom beauty brand. Pros is so confident that you'll bring out your best hair and skin that they are offering an exclusive trial of 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/90dayfiancecraycray. So you'll get your free consultation and then 50% off at PROSE.com/90 90, that's 90, day fiance cray cray. PROSE.com/90dayfiancecraycray to get 50% off your first order with Pros.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Let's talk about this episode. Who do we start with?
Rob and Sophie. We get, as we mentioned earlier, the list of demands, which was one of the funniest parts of the episode.
It was
HEA
probably
still making me
part.
Laugh, which is crazy.
I know. The list. What would be on your list, Kyle?
If my wife and I were separated, the list would be, these are the things I'm going to do profoundly differently and like to self-improve.
Which is what Sophie calls out immediately. She's like, we didn't break up because I get messy with my makeup in the bathroom.
Here's my gym membership. And I here's my gaming PC ready to be donated. Those would be the top two. And then here's the wood pile I'm about to chop for you.
Exactly. So funny. I love that Sophie gave it right back to him right away, though. She was like, no, sir, this is not it.
Not even a... I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. He didn't even supply his own list in like another column to show what he is going to do. That didn't,
she's like, I think that I just want to make sure that you're going to not talk to naked women on social media. That is what I would like to change. But we can talk about washing all the dishes at night another time. Although I have to say, I do not like dishes in the sink. But that is not where they're at with their relationship. Yeah, that is the least of their worries. So
kind of neither here nor there. If he is claiming that he online cheats because of the dishes, then there's a discussion. And that's going to be very strange and rage-inducing, but at least that's a pathway to making a list. But I think he's just doing it because he's desperate for attention and he's a horny man-child.
Yeah, I think that this is what I think happens. I think Rob...
Daddy didn't love him.
Well, I mean, that's real sad, and I'm not a psychologist. I can't go there. But I do think that... He gets real boo-hurt and insecure that, like, Sophie's super hot and, like, other men are probably interested in her or whatever. And he's, like, looking for some positive affirmation.
Yeah.
And he replies to, like, those junk messages that we all literally delete without even thinking. Like,
but
hey, baby.
He would absolutely 100% date another girl with an OnlyFans after this.
Probably.
He's learned nothing.
No,
there's been no growth. And if you thought that there was growth happening with Rob, I think the list shows that is not correct.
Yeah.
He's not going to change.
Which part of the scene was more surprising than to you? The fact that Rob had a kayak in his apartment, or the fact that he literally pulled over on the side of the road to illegally pick flowers with thorns to give to her?
It could have been a weed. I don't know. I don't know. I think there's a river in Austin that you can go kayak in. That's pretty cool. I'm all about that.
It is cool. Yeah, it was like a big open kayak. I was like, that seems like nice and meditative. Rob needs that, you know? Maybe his therapist told him to do an activity, you know? It's nice.
I don't know how you can see growth with this guy. And Sophie's young and immature and does stupid shit too. But she has one pretty simple demand, and it's,
Don't cheat on me.
Don't
again.
Talk to chicks on the internet because you crave attention that you somehow are not getting from me.
Yeah.
He reminds me, remember on Seeking Sister Wife, there's that dude who his wife is like, I need to find him another wife because he needs emotional labor done for him all day.
Yes, like that, who was
like
that?
That's what needs to happen here.
It kind of would work out for these two, actually. Yeah. Speaking sister wife, I have so many other questions, but we'll talk about that on Tuesday.
His wife is just straight up like, he needs compliments all day, and I'm lonely, and I can't do it all by myself. He's such a fucking baby. This is the same as Rob.
Oh man. I when she said K doesn't count my toilet paper rolls, I truly did laugh out loud. What did you think about the second scene where he like takes her on a date and doesn't ask her to improve herself?
Well, the only thing I was thinking is that this fucking line dancing scene song that they play sounds exactly like this.
Let me tell you a story of an Englishman. In fighting around the world, tried to build his brand.
It's the same exact fucking song that they stole from me and my AI assistant.
For those of you who are not Patreon subscribers, that is our new hit single, Fightinest Man.
Yeah.
About our favorite 90 Day Fiancé cast member of all time, John Walters.
I'm trying to get a distributor that won't laugh at me so we can get on Spotify.
Do think we should release an album of our best AI songs. Some of them are really, really funny.
We really, really shouldn't.
Okay. Project.
I think I'm just going to create a zip file and share the link on Google Drive to anyone that wants it.
Well, so Rob takes Sophie on a date to learn a two-step. It is surprising. Like, Rob is, you can tell Rob's a good dancer. He's the type, I have this friend that's similar to Rob in the way that he can just dance. He can do any type of dance. Like, if you know how to dance really well and, like, lead really well, I feel like you can pick up basically any step, right?
Right.
And Rob seems to be like that because he was cute trying to teach her how to dance. She can't move at all, which she's surprising to me.
She's never had to do anything but exist to attract a man. So
that's true.
But some people grew up just, going to dance classes and just like feeling it. And it's also, you can't have that like inhibition that a 6'5" fat guy like me has always had. So
I am not a great dancer, but I might have more rhythm than Sophie, which says a lot.
Yeah.
She likes the poem. I will say, again, I hate that the show makes me say something nice about Rob sometimes, but it does take like some vulnerability to write a shitty poem and then read it in front of millions of people.
Well, he's never been one to have shame.
That's true. When he tried to do a dance at the airport and he was like, I put zero effort into that.
It's like an elementary school poem where every other line rhymes and whatever. It was fine. I mean, the point is that Sophie liked the effort.
Right.
that's more important than it being a good poem, right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, she seemed to really appreciate it, which means it was a good gesture. He brings the single rose. It's like a trademark Rob move, you know? Here's one rose. I think they had a date. They danced. It looked fun, but she breaks.
Yeah. Well, you can't have any joy for more than 45 seconds on HEA. It's just
absolutely not.
We need to come up with some kind of like Matt Sharp's razor or some kind of like law of physics about this.
Yeah. She's like, well, my super hot friend Callum is coming from England tomorrow.
Is he ugly? Is he a fucking uggo?
I mean, I wouldn't date him. He just looks exactly like you.
If he doesn't look like Callum, I don't like it. We do get like, I mean, I know that we knew this, but Rob is really just showing at face value his insecurity here. He's like, This is shockingly similar to a couple called Johan and Danielle, where her friend came and he lost his shit.
How many times have they fucked?
Great question. I'm gonna guarantee at least once. Don't you think?
Well, I think exactly one time. You know, that's my prediction.
Interesting.
Feel free to Price is Right me on this. You know,
I like exactly one time. What are you thinking? Anything else about these two?
I think that he's going to show a massive amount of insecurity, and this is just going to be, he's just going to treat Callum like he did her mom.
Yeah.
And just kind of be like one word, shitty, boring answers. And then she's going to get mad at him and like want to exclude Rob from hanging out because you're just a wet blanket. And that's just going to spiral more and more.
Yeah. Yeah. You're probably right. Hashtag Kyle's always right.
And then it'll turn out at the end, she's not going to tell him that he's gay until he's already exposed himself as like horrifically insecure.
Yeah. Can't wait to watch. All right. Let's talk about Ashley Emmanuel.
Please don't get a motorcycle.
He's not getting a motorcycle. I know. So dumb. But I did appreciate the motorcycle salesman.
Oh my God.
Gives us a great window into the female mind.
Females. You know, women,
females. He did say females. Females.
Females, in my opinion.
Look at everything through eyes like of romance.
Donkeys. Oh, sorry. Right. Yeah. Romance.
Yeah. Men who are from Mars. They want adventure, Kyle. They want adventure. Thank you for the lesson in isn't love.
Look, Kyle's motorcycle facts, but isn't that like a $15,000 motorcycle anyway?
I have literally, it could be $2 or $200,000 million. I have no fucking idea.
They're not cheap.
No.
He could get... I mean, okay, whatever. Just get a compact car if you want Ashley to go away.
Yeah, get a smart car. Get a car at the police auction.
It's so funny. Like, his only motivation to get a motorcycle is so that Ashley can't hang around, and then the first thing they look at is a two-seater.
Yeah, right?
It's so dumb.
Yeah, there's no way. They're not getting that motorcycle. But I love that she prefaced the motorcycle shopping trip with the fact that she's thinking of buying him a motorcycle so he will introduce her to his kids.
That's healthy.
Like that was the That's justification. Normal. I'm like, oh God, she's bribing him. This is not good.
I'm getting all of the wrong lessons from this storyline, Kim. I really just have to stop communicating and shut my wife out of my personal life and yeah. everything that I've ever done, and we'll just have sex all the time. And then I get motorcycles.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe more right. than one. You know,
and
who
I get,
knows?
I mean, and then I get bathed too.
Shit.
Fuck. Yeah, I got my
bath
spiritual.
It
didn't look great.
No. Yeah. Where do they find all of these witch? What'd you say?
I don't think it opened his third eye. I'm sad to say.
They are in different spiritual planes. So I don't know that Ashley really understood the consequences.
I know what you were about to ask, and I will preemptively answer. I don't think it's that hard to find a pseudo-spiritualist person operating out of a cottage that's willing to be on television.
Oh my gosh, like, where are these stores? We saw Danielle went to several
Everywhere.
Of them.
Everywhere.
Ashley's gone to a couple. We've seen this a lot of times on this show, and if you asked me to identify a store where I could buy, like, crystals and stuff, I would have no idea. No idea.
I think that your brain probably filters these places out as you're driving, like I okay. do, like Michael's or you like filter out a Harley Davidson store.
Okay.
Could you Fair enough. Could you know where a Harley Davidson showroom is?
No, I do not.
I guarantee there are like 12 within 5 miles of you, but you would have no idea. That's how I feel about just like psychic, you know?
Yeah, that's true. I know there's lots of psychics around here and I don't know where they are. You're right. Cause I'm blind to right. it. So, okay. Yeah. That makes sense. Well, this store owner speaks Spanish. Ashley has to enlist witchy help to improve their communication because they come from different spiritual planes. And the answer to this is so simple.
Take a bath.
Yeah. Who knew?
Just wash his nuts with elderberry, you stupid bitch. What is wrong
walnut.
With you?
Black walnut kills everything around it. So
black walnut. That's the solution. I just enjoy, you know, the witchy woman prescribes a very specific mix of certain herbs that she thinks is going to help Manuel. Fine. You do you. What really amused me about this is that Ashley takes that and just starts adding shit to it. Just adding.
Yeah.
Because all spells what I learned is that all these spells are purely additive. So you can just concoct a random basically this spell ended up being the water at the bottom of my garbage can of just random shit. Throw in some eggshells. I mean, look, it's calcium. You know? I mean, I throw random eggshells into my garden. What's the difference of pouring it on Manuel's head?
I didn't see anybody kicking a coconut around the floor. And so I'm worried. It hasn't been detoxed.
Oh, you know? Well, that's fair. But, you know, she's on a different spiritual plane than Ashley. So her spells are different.
True. Yes.
Get with the fucking program. But also, like, taking random things, making a concoction, and then just kind of chucking it at your husband under a tree. That is how you get raccoons.
Certainly. Yeah. Certainly. I'm also, like, really confused if any of these ingredients are none of them contradictory. Like, you can just, they are all additive.
That's what I mean. There's no spiritual conflict that's going to occur.
Because, like, I can't use my glycolic acid with my vitamin C because they're contradictory.
That's what I was going to say.
Yes. I know you try to steer clear of that error too, but doesn't add up, but whatever. They do the bath and Manuel says,
Manuel just looks vaguely cold and uncomfortable and there's wild, potentially rabid animals observing.
So the jury's out on if their communication improves. We'll have to see next week.
Well, no, he agreed to take her to see his family that he's never met. So that's a huge, you know, that's big. That essentially guarantees the rest of the season's storyline, Kim.
I actually can't wait to see this. He also, like, there's a big admission on Manuel's part this episode, which is, look, I'm Catholic and my family's Catholic. And in Ecuador, the term witch has a really negative connotation. And I'm like, we've seen Corey
uggo.
Do car. Jesus.
Muy feo.
I think it just means like more like Satan, owls, you know, that kind of thing. But we saw Corey of Corey and Evelyn get kicked out of a child's birthday party in Ecuador.
Shit.
For doing
typical
some
Catholic.
Doing some card tricks. So this is not surprising.
El Diablo, he's coming.
El Diablo, he's coming.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Ashley seems upset that he hasn't told his family that she's a witch. But I would have reminded her also that he's never met these people.
No, they just exist in New York. They don't know him.
They're related, but they're not. Is it completely unreasonable to just not lead with that, you know?
I don't think so.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think so. All right. Moving on. Who's next? We have Gino and Jasmine. Oh, this was hard to watch, I think. And like, again, I never take Jasmine very seriously. I think that she's pretty performative, but this felt a little different to me. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it didn't feel over performative, which makes me feel more and more that it was an authentic reaction, because I do believe that she loves her kids and wants them to be over there. And now they're in this predicament where Jasmine has, and I think it felt a little bit more real because she was a little bit self-reflective at the end, although I think she was probably just trying to make Gino feel bad by blaming herself. But now they're in a situation where she has demanded a bigger house and better house. She's demanded IVF, and now she's demanding a lawyer to help get her kids over there. And Gino is just a complete idiot. He doesn't approach this from anything except a defensive posture, because she has used his finances against him and like bludgeoned him over the head, making him feel like a piece of shit for a long time. In his head, you know, him responding like the way he did, which was not great, obviously, is him like firing back at her because he feels like emasculated and shamed all the time. Mm-hmm. But so I think there is a path forward here if they just change their priorities and discuss their finance, the reality of his finances like adults. Ultimately, this ends with him getting a fucking job.
Yeah, and I don't understand why he's not working.
Well, the weird thing about this to me is that it doesn't feel like they've seriously even had an adult conversation about him working.
She just
kind of screams and bitches at him for quitting his job, which maybe is fair. Maybe, I mean, I kind of saw the logic in quitting because he felt like he had enough money, which in hindsight is stupid. But he wanted to help her get settled in. She obviously has a lot of emotional needs to be met, and having her sit around all day in fucking Michigan townhome would probably not be great. So, I mean, I get it. But at this point, like, are they going to talk about the reality of what it would look like for him to go back to work?
And like, why didn't he? I could see taking a month sabbatical or whatever to help her get settled in. But then at the end of the day,
that's what he actually did.
Yeah. Hopefully that is. At the end of the day, what are you both doing sitting around all day? Like, I don't know. Just seems really boring.
They're not fucking enough.
Well, hasn't them in the storyline since like their first season?
Yeah. Why else would you just sit around all day?
Yeah.
Banging.
I did like when Gino, so the whole like conversation at the cafe, which the fact that they're having this conversation in public is actually crazier than when you think about it, than
and
I originally
thought.
Maybe
that's why there wasn't a Titanic meltdown yet.
Meltdown, yeah. But Gino says, really? We're both of us are responsible for the situation. I was like, Chino, what? You were the one. Literally, we had people email us and message us and DM us saying all he had to do was literally list her kids on the K-1 and they would have automatically gotten a K-2 visa.
Yeah, maybe
that's
he's talking
he had
about
to do.
I'm not trying to give Gino too much credit or play devil's advocate, but the only thing I can think is maybe he was specifically talking about the money situation that they're in.
I guess, but this is from Juliana. My husband is a K-1 and has a daughter. When we did the process without knowing, just by mentioning he had a kid on the forms, she automatically got approved as a K-2, which is a child of a K-1. I mean, and we had lots of people with same thing, like messaged
right,
us this about is, this.
So I
feel like Gino is
kind of.
I think it's a conspiracy. I don't think he wants her kids to come.
Okay, yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Is this tinfoil that he did this on purpose as an oopsie?
I think he wants his own kid. I don't think he's interested in her kids. And I think it's a money thing. I think this guy is super stingy. He doesn't want to pay for her kids. He know her kids are going to have a lot of needs. Like, her kids have special needs. And
yeah,
at least one of them, we know.
One of them.
And I don't think he wants to pay for it.
Yeah.
Like, what do you think?
I mean, if he admits that at any point, that has to be like for realsies done divorce, right?
It has to. I don't know how Jasmine can explain away why she would be with somebody that has admitted they don't want her kids to come.
I don't think it's that outlandish. I mean, you have a guy that has worked pretty hard for 30 years. He is a homeowner in America, which is no small feat anymore. He's got a little bit of a nest egg saved up. And then, he wants a big titty, hot Latin wife. Come on over. I think that's in his head. He had it all lined up and ready to go.
The fact that didn't he agree to IVF or like agree to at least look into it? That costs way more than $5,000 for a lawyer.
Right. And that's why I don't believe they've had an actual consultation with an actual clinic.
Also, he allegedly gave Jasmine $10,000 or something like that for the wedding dress was the storyline last season.
Which I also don't
believe
for a minute.
So you're going to tell me I don't believe it for a second. But how can you say you gave her even $10,000 for a wedding dress and not $5,000 for a lawyer to get her kids over here?
Right.
I don't know. It's his attitude during this entire conversation, though, that is so fucked. He literally sits there and he's like, arms crossed. Well, you don't appreciate anything I do for you. And I worked hard to get, I busted my ass to get you to this country and I get no appreciation for that. All I get is negative feedback. And she's like, I am just melting down emotionally because I want to see my kids.
I think in her head, and I'm sure this was communicated, the kids were always part of the deal.
Oh, yeah.
And so if he worked his butt off to get her there, that's only half. He only did half the work.
Right. He then tells her she is screwed up in her dumb head. Screwed up in her dumb head, Kyle.
Which is just, he's such a fucking child.
Just maybe don't say that to your wife, like generally.
What?
Good advice.
my female?
Your female. It's just as much your fault. I'm like, how is this in any way, shape, or form her fault? Like, she asked you to get.
She didn't look at the paperwork. Stupid female. Females, in my opinion.
Then they make it look like he gets up and just leaves her at the restaurant and drives away.
There's no way that he drives away, but it was hilarious.
It was. I was like, this is not real. I mean, that's what we got from them.
She wasn't even like screaming at him. She called her dumb and she just she responded like I think a normal person who is emotionally upset would. Like, really? Really, you're going to call me fucking dumb right now? Like, what is fucking wrong with you? And that's grounds for him to walk away. It's just, it's pretty clear if this was real that he knows that he's wrong, or he is so screwed up in his head that this is like his expression of shame and guilt, and he just cannot handle it.
Yeah. This is just awful. Anyway, okay, you want to move on? Let's go to Nicole and Mahmoud. Very little. We get just, well, we got like one scene that they split into two like tiny mini scenes. This is, we're 12 hours in. We're 12 hours in. And it's like completely falling apart. Listen,
if you want to ease your very conservative husband into American culture, just taking him to like fucking Muscle Beach and the Santa Monica Pier, that's, I would say that's intermediate. You know what I mean?
Right. Right.
Yeah.
The bar, I keep thinking of that Barbie scene where they're like rollerblading in Venice Beach.
Yeah. I think like that you should have started with Van Nuys, Nicole.
Day one, things are falling apart. I do think it's interesting you mentioned in the beginning, though, a lot of people seem to have this theory that like Nicole brought him here to seek revenge on everything she endured in Egypt. And I think that maybe true.
Maybe not the reason she brought him here, but I mean that would imply that she actually doesn't want to be married to him, and this is just, I'm getting a check from TLC to fuck with him as revenge. I'm willing to entertain that, but right now I still think that she actually loves him in a twisted Nicole way. But I am totally seeing how there's a little bit of payback happening right now. And if she's doing this on purpose, but she still loves him, it's stupid. You gotta like let him fucking recover from the jet lag at least before you throw him to Santa Monica.
Right.
What are you doing? Yeah. Like, it's day three, she's gonna take him to Pride, and it's just gonna be, it's gonna be fucking hilarious to watch, but he's just gonna like run away again.
Yeah. This guy is such a wet blanket. I mean,
he's such a baby.
He can't even eat a fucking donut and make it fun. You know, she's got those donuts and he's like, ugh.
I don't know. I kind of get that, because if you've never had like a Krispy Kreme, it's going to taste like tooth shattering garbage food and fuck your stomach up immediately. Right.
Yeah. Especially when he described the typical Egyptian breakfast, I was like, I want that. It was like falafel, cheese, and some egg. I was like, ooh, that sounds so good. I want that for breakfast every day.
My wife would pass out if she had only a Krispy Kreme for breakfast. She'd feel like glycemic.
Well, after the frozen pizza that they had the night before, remember? Well,
yeah. Well, you're in LA. Why are you feeding him just trash food?
Yeah. That's a good question.
You have a farmer's market. We know that you go to the farmer's market because they fought about what she wore.
We do know. Also, even Rob managed to find chicken tikka masala in LA. It's Sophie's favorite food. Wow, what a hero.
amazing. It's so hard to find fresh food in Los Angeles.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Nicole loves America. Anything goes, takes him to the beach store. That's about it. And then he sees
a Muslim woman. I mean, it's fun. It was funny, like what she was wearing, the colors and her profile. It literally looked like they just flew Shida in from Michigan and blurred her face so we didn't find out, just to like pay her a Starbucks gift card to troll Mahmoud. But I don't know. I mean, listen,
was
I don't want to give the guy the. I don't want to give him the benefit of the doubt, but I wouldn't say that seeing someone in a hijab in Santa Monica is like uncommon or something, but it's not. I mean, you probably wouldn't see it every day on the pier.
That's true. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I didn't go there a lot, and it is a tourist thing. So you see all kinds, but maybe, I mean, look, I just spitballing. Maybe it just kind of hit him. Oh, like diversity. I don't know.
Yeah.
Or yeah, this isn't, maybe he was just thinking this isn't going to be so, as isolating as maybe I thought it was going to be. Or multiculturalism good? I don't know.
Nicole loses her mind saying that he's like,
it's funny,
like eyeing her. And she, verbatim, Nicole says, I'm going to put your fucking ass back on the fucking plane back to Egypt. I was like, damn. And Mahmood is Mother Debbie Dunn.
She's going full season 6 Ashley. Like, she's about to fucking call ICE on this dude.
Jesus. Yeah. If you want an Arab woman, why don't you just marry one? It's like, yikes. I think he just was looking in her direction.
It was definitely a noticeable thing that he was looking at her, but he didn't stop in his tracks or something. I don't know.
Right.
I don't want to make excuses for Mahmood, but who fucking knows? She just goes 0 to 60. She's probably just pissed off that he's not being this lovey-dovey magical husband man that she's built up in her head because she's a fucking idiot.
I don't know why anyone would expect him to ever turn into that, but we know she's pretty delusional. So,
yeah.
Next time on, we have Manuel taking Ashley to a Catholic church. that's going to be fun. She's like, this, I just love those. She looks like she is trying to describe it as a strange experience. I'm like, you know what, like, church is about, right? Even if you've never been,
I know,
growing up in the States, I feel like you have a pretty decent, like, have you seen Sister Act? You know, like, you have a pretty good idea of what a Catholic church generally is.
Also, don't try to pretend that your magic that you do is any weirder than the magic that happens at Catholic church. It's all magic. Catholicism is the most magical of any of the big ones, it feels like to me. That's what it feels like. There's all sorts of herbs and powder and burning shit and eating blood and crap. Like, come on.
That's true. Yeah, the blood of crap. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I didn't think about it that way. Okay. That's right. The priest does change the wafer into the body of Christ in front of your eyes and the blood of Christ. You're right. That's magic.
Why is that mysticism any more shocking than crushing an egg and pouring it on him under a black walnut tree?
I'll let somebody else answer that question.
It's actually shockingly similar the more you think about it.
Yeah.
She's like anointing him.
Yeah. Yeah. You could look at it that way. Kobe's friend calls Emily bossy, which this is going to be a whole theme.
Here we go.
Here we go. Yeah. I don't actually think that we saw Emily be bossy in these last couple of episodes.
She's rolling with it fairly well.
Seems like she's
genuinely excited to see his family and see what they have going on.
Sophie's friend arrives and he looks like a Jonas brother.
Totally.
Or like there's like a One Direction maybe person.
He's kind of like a
British boy band person.
Yeah. A white, skinnier version of Rob.
With big hair. He kind of looks like he was in the Barbie movie, like as one of the Kens. Like, kind of, right?
He's got a little bit of broccoli hair happening, which is a bad sign.
Yeah.
That's a red flag.
Mahmood is still Mother Debbie Dunn. There's no way he gets on a plane yet, though. Right? What if he gets on a plane?
No.
They're like, and scene.
No.
Be like Love After Lockup season 2, where, like, was her name Lizzie? She filmed with that guy that sold the bikes in the bathing suits out of his garage. And they filmed at the like Ramada Inn for literally like 24 yeah. hours. And it was an entire season.
Scott 1.0. But
yes.
do you remember the there was a Love After Lockup cast member that was with her dude for I think a grand total of 25 minutes before she yes. peeled out. And she like met his aunt or something. And then that was
old aunt.
Yeah. And then that was it. And she's been a focus of just Love After Lockup subreddit drama. People have followed her ever since. And she is completely like insane.
I mean, this is why I can't watch Lockup, because it's too like she has mental health. Like she needs help.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jasmine. It looks like I think they're at couples counseling, I think is what's happening.
Yeah, I guess. So,
again, like Gino, you could pay for couples counseling or you could just pay the fucking lawyer. But this is not here nor there. That's all. That's all we've got.
Well, next week we will be talking about HEA again, but probably come back to Seeking Sister Wife on our yes. main episode too. Yeah.
We will.
So I think are we gonna cover Seeking Sister Wife on our next B sides episode, our next premium episode to catch up, or are we gonna come back to it during HEA?
I think that we will cover only one episode, this B sides, and then we'll continue covering Seeking Sister Wife on the main episode. Yeah.
Okay.
So
yeah. So if you want to follow along on our premium content, go to realitycraycray.com, sign up for $5. Super quick. It's easy. You can also subscribe now on just Apple Podcasts by clicking one button. But it's even better if you subscribe through Patreon or Supercast on realitycraycray.com. You just get more benefits on there. So yeah, check that out. More episodes, longer episodes. And yeah, who are our sponsors this week that we have to thank for listening to us rant about HEA?
Thank you to Pros. Major promotion this week. Go to pros.com/90dayfiancecraycray. That's PROSE.com/90dayfiancecraycray to get 50% off your first month of personalized hair and skincare. And we'll be back next week with, I guess, episode 4 of HEA, season 8.
Still not terrible for HEA. I've seen worse.
I laughed. I'm loving Cameroon. I want to see more. It was dark when they arrived. I'm excited to see Cameroon in the daytime when we're not at the airport.
You know, one piece of evidence that we didn't talk about that we can wrap up with is that rumors swirling that because Angela has not been on the season yet and there are no more previews with her, that she has been cut after all the MacGyal drama.
Yep.
We will follow up on that soon. We have no idea if it's actually true, and it's one of those things that we've heard this so many times. I'm just fucking like, I'll see it when I believe it, you know?
Right. Believe it when you see it. Yeah, I'm with you. We have heard a lot of rumors about it, but no confirmation. We'll continue to follow the story.
Yep. All right, guys.
Thanks for listening.
Talk to you soon. Boy, thanks for listening to 90 Day Fiancé Cray Cray. Don't forget to subscribe and leave us a 5-star review wherever you listen. You can follow us on Instagram and Threads at 90 Day Fiancé Cray Cray. Join our community of Cray Crays by subscribing to our premium podcast feed for $5, either on Supercast or Patreon by visiting realitycraycray.com. Benefits include 3 times the podcast content you get now, ad-free, covering all other 90 Day Fiancé content, and our listener-requested favorite shows outside 90 Day. Access to our members-only Facebook group with thousands of 90 Day fanatics, our podcast archives with over 600 episodes, all ad-free, and you can listen to all of that on your favorite podcast player. With an optional subscription add-on, you also get access to our long-form documentary podcast, D-Sides, where we cover the latest streaming documentaries. You're almost there, lazy. Go to realitycraycray.com and sign up literally in seconds if you use Apple Pay. All the links I've mentioned are in the show notes. Thanks again, and see you next week.